Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records number 1266, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s with yours truly, Glenn Robison. We've got dance bands, hot bands, sweet bands, show tunes, novelty tunes, blues, jazz, and more on everything from Aeolian to Xenophone and by everyone from Aronson to Zerky. On this week's show, we'll enjoy some candy, have a vocabulary lesson, learn the value of a penny, take a walk in the woods, and sing like a canary. This past week, Monday, October 14th, was a federal holiday, Columbus Day and Indigenous Peoples Day. The following day, October 15th, was also a holiday, although a much more regional one. Sweetest Day was established around 1922 by Herbert Birch Kingston, a Cleveland, Ohio candy company employee. Kingston wanted to bring a bit of happiness to the lives of those who were often forgotten, showing them that someone cared by distributing candy to orphans, shut-ins, hospital patients, and the needy. Sweetest Day is most prevalent in the Great Lakes region, but has spread throughout much of the country. I just became aware of Sweetest Day because in further researching comedian Jimmy Hussey, who you heard on last week's show, I came across an article in the October 8, 1922 edition of the Cleveland Plain Dealer that said Jimmy Hussey would be distributing 5,000 boxes of candy to orphanages and other institutions and needy families. Noting that many families would be embarrassed to ask for candy themselves, Hussey had coupons printed in the newspaper which folks could send to Cleveland's State Theater, where Hussey was appearing, giving the name and address of someone deserving of a gift of candy. And who was the honorary queen of the Sweetest Day, 1922? Well, it was sweet little 82-year-old Vera Sissons, a resident at the Home for Aged Women in Cleveland. So, in a slightly belated celebration of the Sweetest Day, here's a set of rapidly rotating records about candy.
The candy stand, he's got the stuff to be the candy man. Oh, the candy man,
yes, the candy man.
Oh, the candy man,
yes, the candy man.
Everybody's talking about the candy man.
Talking about the candy man.
We started that sweet set with blues singer Rosetta Howard and the Harlem Hamfats singing about the Candyman. But I don't think this Candyman is giving away Snickers bars. Good and Plenty, maybe. That 10-inch record, Decca 7551, was recorded in Chicago on October 21, 1938. Rosetta Howard was born August 30, 1913, in Woodruff County, Arkansas. As a teenager, she moved to Chicago and worked as a dancer at a club before singing with clarinetist Jimmy Noon in 1932. Her association with the Harlem Hamfats began in 1937. The Harlem Hamfats weren't from Harlem at all, but were a Chicago studio band put together by record producer J. Mayo Williams. Rosetta Howard performed in the 1950s and died October 8, 1974. She's buried at Burr Oak Cemetery in Alsip, Illinois. The Candyman was followed by More Candy, a one-step written by Mel B. Kaufman. It was performed there by Conway's band, directed by Patrick Conway. Victor 18359 was recorded July 3, 1917. We finished up in Central America with the characteristic novelty Panama, written by William H. Tyers in 1911, during the time the Panama Canal was being built. Vocalion 14977 was recorded December 12, 1924. So, why play Panama in a candy segment? Well, because it was performed there by McKenzie's Candy Kids. In fact, a pseudonym for the Mound City Blue Blowers. I'm Glenn Robison, and you and I are listening to Rapidly Rotating Records, bringing you vintage music to which you can't not tap your toes from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s. The word junk dates from the mid-19th century and was originally a nautical term, referring to an old or inferior cable or rope cut up into bits and pieces to be used for caulking. The word junk has since taken on several other meanings, the most common, old or discarded items considered of little or no value. There are various Chinese ships called junks, and junk can refer to narcotics, especially heroin. Bonds rated BB plus or less are called junk bonds, and in baseball, breaking or off-speed baseball pitches are junk. And then there's the most recent definition of junk from 1986, referring to the male genitalia. That definition most certainly does not apply to junk as used in these three rapidly rotating records.
You've heard about Minute and Mucha, and about Smokey Joe. Well, gather round me while I tell you about a boy you should know. Folks all call him Jerry the Junker down in Chinatown. He's deep, dumb, blind and lame, but still he kicks the gong around. Oh, Jerry the Junker.
Jerry the Junker.
Jerry the Junker. Raggedy clothes and torn shoes. How that boy can sing the blues. Everything just seems to ooze from Jerry the Junker.
From Jerry the
found him guilty and sentenced him to die. He faced the crowd, laughed out loud and spit in the judge's eye. They strapped him to the electric chair. 'Twas time for him to die. 10,000 votes shot through him, but the boy didn't bat his eyes. Jerry the Junker.
Jerry the Junker.
Jerry the Junker.
Jerry the Junker.
Raggedy clothes, torn shoes. How that boy can yodel the blues. Everything just seems to ooze from Jerry the Junker.
From Jerry the Junker.
Tried a thousand times till they heard the warden cry. Hey, what's the use? Shut off that juice. My electric bill's too high. For days and days, thousand ways, they tried to bump him off. Till one cold day he passed away. He died from the whooping cough. Oh, Jerry the Junker.
Jerry the Junker.
Jerry the Junker.
Oh, Jerry the Junker.
Raggedy clothes and old torn shoes. How that boy can yodel the blues. How everything seems to ooze from Jerry the Junker.
From Jerry the Junker.
In the rags and the bones in the bottles today. Thank you.
Fred Van Epps recorded Lucky Roberts' tune Junkman Rag for Columbia, but he also recorded it for Edison as part of a medley, including the tunes Harmony Joe and That Teasin' Rag, the recording we just heard. That was Edison 4-Minute Cylinder 2225, recorded December 15, 1913. That Teasin' Rag was written in 1909 by Joe Jordan, and Harmony Joe was written by J.A.G. Schiller. I couldn't find anything else composed by J.A.G. Schiller. His primary occupation was as a salesman of musical instruments for Sherman Clay in San Francisco. But in the 1920s, Schiller was general manager of the Photo Player Company. Now, if you don't know what a photo player is, I implore you to go to YouTube and do a search on photo player. The first video in the list should be Joe Renato with his photo player playing 12th Street Rag at breakneck speed for Huell Hauser. It took me a while, but I finally found Schiller's full name, James Abram Garfield Schiller, born September 3, 1881 in New York. He died in Los Angeles in 1957. Before Junkman Rag was Claude Hopkins and his orchestra with Junkman's Serenade, written by Ovie Alston and recorded October 14, 1938. We started that junk set with Clarence Williams and his orchestra, with Clarence himself singing the story of Jerry the Junker, written by Clarence Stout. Vocalion 2854 was recorded July 6, 1934. A couple of weeks ago, a news story appeared about a father who gave his ex-wife his final child support payment. Just one problem, he made the payment by dumping 80,000 pennies in the front yard of his ex-wife's home in Virginia. Nice guy, huh? No wonder they're divorced. But the mother and her daughter donated the $800 in pennies to a local charity, and news of the story resulted in others donating a total of $47,000 to the charity. So here's a set of rapidly rotating records about, yep, you guessed it, pennies. We'll be right back.
Here's a penny, what's on your mind? Here's a penny, see how it shines. Here's a penny, nice and new, it shall go to you if you'll answer me truly. Times are not so good, they say. So this penny circulate and stock may go up, money show up, if you do not hesitate. Here's a penny, all I can find. Rockefeller might give a dime. Here's a penny, not much in it, but it's my limit, a penny for your thought.
Don Espiazu and his Havana Casino Orchestra with A Penny for Your Thoughts from Victor 22923, made September 23, 1931. The vocalist singing the Marion Sunshine lyrics was Bob Burke, and the tune was credited to Cuevas-Timor. Before A Penny for Your Thoughts, we heard Red Nichols' Five Pennies by Billy Stennett and his Carolina Stompers. I'm going to guess Billy Stennett is a pseudonym for someone, as this recording is on the Broadway label, catalog number 1194, made in June of 1928. We started this penny set with Red Nichols himself and the Parade of the Pennies, from Bluebird B-10360, recorded June 26, 1939. The Parade of the Pennies was composed by the then 22-year-old pianist Billy Maxted, who started his musical career with Red Nichols as an arranger in 1937. During the 1950s, he was the house pianist at Nick's Club in Greenwich Village. A couple of weeks ago, I happened across an article in Outdoor Guide titled The Rule of Three That Will Help People Find You If You're Lost in the Woods. The rules of three in survival say that you can only live 3 minutes without oxygen or if bleeding profusely. 3 hours is the limit for exposure to extreme weather conditions. 3 days is how long humans can go without water. And 3 weeks is the maximum time you can survive without food. When it comes to outdoor signaling, however, a repeated series of three is the universal distress signal. Whether from a flashlight, whistle, gunshots, or fires, making sure your distress signals are made in a repeating series of three will help alert potential rescuers to your predicament and location. So, armed with that knowledge, we're going to confidently venture forth musically into the woods, along with Clara Smith. Yeah, where I am.
There's a tale of two little orphans who were left in their uncle's care to be reared and ruled and properly schooled till they grew to be ladies fair. But oh, the luckless pair, for the uncle, he was a cruel trustee, and he longed to possess their gold. So he led them thence to the forest dense, where he left them to die of cold. That at least is what we're told. They were two little babes in the woods, two little babes oh so good, two little hearts, two little heads longed to be home in their two little beds. So two little birds built a nest where the two little babes went to rest. While the breeze, hovering nigh, sang a last lullaby to the two little babes in the woods. They were lying there in the freezing air when fortunately there appeared a rich old man in a big sedan and a very, very fancy beard. He saw those girls and cheered. Then he drove them down to New York town, where he covered them with useful things, such as bonds and stocks and Paris frocks and Oriental pearls and strings and a showcase full of rings. Now those two little babes in the woods are the talk of the whole neighborhood. For they've too many cars, too many clothes, too many parties, and too many bows. They have learned that the fountain of youth is a mixture of gin and vermouth. And the whole town's agreed that the last thing in speed is the two little babes in the woods.
The two little babes in the woods were too young to know about the rule of three, but fortunately, they were rescued from being lost in the woods. That was Cole Porter with his 1924 composition on Victor 24825, November 27th, 1934. Before that was Irish fiddler Patrick Gaffney with Maggie in the Woods. Gaffney was joined on that November 8th, 1924 recording by pianist Susan Peters. That's from Columbia Green Label Ethnic Series 33058-F for the Irish market, but it was also issued on Columbia's budget Harmony label, with Gaffney credited as Michael Mahaffey. We started the set with Clara Smith and Backwoods Blues on Columbia 14022-D, recorded May 1, 1924. Backwoods Blues was written by George Brooks. He's been represented on the show several times, and the name may be a pseudonym for Fletcher Henderson and others, but regardless, he'll be getting his own segment because he's written some great titles. It's true, there are no canaries in the Canary Islands. That's because the name Canary Islands comes from the Latin term Canariae Insulae, which means islands of the dogs, and the little yellow birds were named after the islands, not the other way around. So, that's right, here's a set of rapidly rotating records about canaries. Thank you.
canaria. Oh, mio canaria. Canaria. Paloma mia. Se tu ego parti domina di cuor, che sembra io te a me, dal mio
the old birdcage, and my canary has circles under his eyes. I thought he'd never do anything wrong. Now he does snake hips the whole day long, and my canary has circles under his eyes. His only pals are the yellow lark and just a tiny sparrow. But I'm afraid when he's in the park, he leaves the straight and narrow. I've raised this bird in a manner so strict, yet I've got a feeling I'm being tricked, 'cause my canary has circles under his eyes. And he hasn't any girlfriends, that I'm certain of, but he sings, "What is this thing called love?" Since my canary has circles under his eyes. Birds of a feather, the old story goes, but love is something that nobody knows. My poor canary has circles under his eyes. Perhaps he's worried, the poor little lamb. He always looks so solemn. I wonder if he's in a jam. I'll have to look up Mr. Swapper's column. He's never cheerful, he's lost all his dash. Must have been caught in the Wall Street crash, 'cause my canary has circles under his eyes. When I observe him, it's making me think he may be taking to dope or drink, 'cause my canary has circles under his eyes. Maybe he's got secret sorrow or strife, maybe he's leading a double life, 'cause my canary has circles under his eyes. I can't imagine him going wrong or doing something shady. Perhaps he's just worn out through singing songs to some canary lady. I've fed him birdseed, but now it denotes that birdseed must have been wild, wild oats, 'cause my canary has circles under his eyes.
Thank you.
king of Ukrainian-American popular music in the 1920s, fiddler Paulo Humeniuk, with his most popular polka, Kanarek, or Canary, from 1928. And Paulo Humeniuk may be getting his own segment next June when his birthday rolls around. You've heard My Canary Has Circles Under His Eyes on the show by Al Boley and DeBroy Summers, but before Canary Polka, you heard Sophie Tucker and her rendition of the Ted Kohler and Eddie Pola lyrics to Jack Golden's tune. That's from Broadcast 12, Super, number 2042-B, recorded in London in 1931, with Ted Shapiro and orchestra. I don't know whether it has anything to do with canaries or not, but we started the set with Louis Vola and his Lido de Toulon Orchestra and Canaria. That was recorded May 28, 1931, and included Django Reinhardt on guitar. Louis Vola was primarily a double bass player with the quintet of the Hot Club of France, but on this recording, he played accordion. I'm Glenn Robison, and I'm very pleased that you've chosen to spend this past hour with me listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. If you had half as much fun as I did, then I had twice as much fun as you. I hope you'll click in or tune in again next week, and as always, I thank you for your very kind attention.